God has called us through the gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me, receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. If we take a moment to consider our first reading from the Book of Wisdom, we hear Jesus' enemies complain that the Just One has challenged their authority. Jesus has reproached them for breaking the law of Moses and for betraying their training as leaders and teachers. And there are even words which here foreshadow how they will mock him as he hangs on the cross. Now, the Gospel of Mark gives us, in a certain way, the flip side as we hear of Jesus' sufferings from his point of view. And though his enemies surround him, he offers himself freely in sacrifice, trusting that the God, his Father, will sustain him. But Jesus' apostles do not understand this second announcement of his passion. And we hear them beginning to argue over issues of succession, over who among them is the greatest, who is going to be chosen to be the leader after Christ is killed. And yet again, they are thinking not as God thinks, but as we human beings think. And Jesus is patiently explaining his logic to them. And yet again, Jesus is teaching the 12 he has chosen, already chosen, to lead his church, that they must lead by imitating his example of love and self-sacrifice. They must be servants of all, especially servants to the weak and to the helpless. And this is all symbolized at the end of the passage we just read by that child who he embraces and puts in their midst. Jesus' kingdom, which has already begun here and now, is not like other kingdoms of the world. His kingdom is the reign of God's will in the hearts of his followers, which for all of us involves self-denial and ultimately, and in some form, the cross and our participation in our cross, in his cross. It's a spiritual kingdom which will be a leaven within our earthly kingdom, bringing souls back into communion with the God who loves them and setting them and us on the road to heaven, the resurrection and eternal life. The 12, as we hear in the gospel, they have not yet understood this. And if you think about it, even for us, now almost 2,000 years later, There's many times when we don't get it either, especially when God would insist upon the cross for us in our own lives. We also hear that greatness in God's kingdom is equated with humility. And one way to think of that in our own circumstance, it's an attitude in our heart, in our being, which puts the good of others against what might be our own preference in a situation. And by defining Christian greatness in this way, our innate human desire to excel and to achieve is not stifled, but it's actually channeled into what